Let me just introduce this a little bit. There are many rabbit trails we could go down with this. Everybody's seen videos or heard stories or, you know, heard about Kepler and Galileo. Yes?
You're on. It's not you.
Quiet, Porter. Okay, a little technical difficulty. Dear, can you hear me?
Not very well.
Need to move it up.
Move it up.
Okay.
Move it up.
I already did. How's that, Porter? Goodness gracious. How many cooks does it take? This is way too many. Okay, how's that?
That's much better.
Better? Okay. Thanks to the booth out there. Oh, okay. You know, the whole McCall family is just against me today, and it's starting to frustrate me a little bit. You ready? Okay. How's that?
Just keep going.
Test. Okay. So before we start, just if you want to have questions and stop me, that's fine. Interject at any time. I just don't want to go down any of 1,000 rabbit trails about it. Well, I heard this and I heard that, and what about Kepler and Galileo? And so clarifying questions are welcome, but I want to avoid, you know, divergences into some of these other, you know, more natural science issues. And I know you've probably all heard something about that, but I just want to focus on the scriptures and look at what God says in Matthew 2 about this Christmas star and how it relates to the Magi and the whole story. So please ask questions if you have it. I want to try to answer as best we can, even though it's supernatural, what this star really is. What we know from Scripture that the Christmas star really is. Is it natural or supernatural? So again, I want to take a fresh look. I didn't look at any of my previous notes. I didn't look at any commentaries. I just focused on the script. Well, that's a little bit of a cheat because I did look at the Blue Letter Bible a little bit for some of the words, but I didn't want to really get anybody else's thoughts. I wanted our thoughts and what God has for us. So again, a fresh look. And and I don't want to delve too deeply into the historical background. There's some great history. I'm sure some of you have probably heard about Kepler and Galileo, who were believers, along with Newton. And Kepler had specifically written a paper on how, you know, it looks like there was a confluence, you know, a lining up of stars at, you know, the time that Christ was born. And they kind of, that provided a vector to where Christ's birth occurred in Bethlehem. That's fine, but I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about what the Scripture says. Those believers, they got in trouble with the Catholic Church over some of their holding to Scripture. So that's another sidelight. Rob Lowry had told me about a video that he saw that these people have traced back. And what's behind this is the order of the universe. They've traced back what they see in the stars and the planets and to back to the time of Christ and what things were going on at that time. And that's pretty interesting. I think that's part of doing research. But that's separate from Scripture. We want to just look at the Scripture. What that really does tell us is the order of the universe, which is really the biggest science contribution to our faith, really, that we see order. We don't see chaos. And so if you have order, you have an order-er. And that's the key point. Porter?
Yeah. To your point, yeah. This is no less a miracle than an act of birth, probably. We don't understand it all.
It's all miraculous. And you can't pull out some part and make it natural because that just it's not. It doesn't fit with the whole narrative. The other thing is, who were the Magi? And this is another study that we could go into very deeply, but it looks like the Magi were a caste of wise men specializing in what they termed astrology at the time. And that's not the goofy witchcraft that we see in the Sunday paper. This was more astronomy and looking at the natural order and how things, and they made a study of that. And so they studied astronomy, medicine, and natural science. Possibly Zoroastrian astronomers, descendants of Daniel. So they were pretty familiar with the scriptures. And they were from the Persian area of Babylon, that area where Daniel was. So this is a study in its own right. And the three gifts that they brought, probably more than three magi, but the three gifts, so they say three, but probably more. And again, they were aware of the scripture, like Micah 5:2, that talks about Bethlehem and the Savior coming to Bethlehem. So this is all great backdrop, and but I want to just focus on the centrality of Matthew 2. So let me just read that. If you have your Bibles, Matthew 2, and I'll just read the first 12 verses. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, magi, and in your little, I don't want any smart alecks talking to me about this, but in the margin you'll say, really should be pronounced M-A-Y-J-I, magi. Nobody does that, just magi. So we're going to stick with magi. magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and have come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard it, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he began to inquire of them where the Christ was to be born. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Continuing in verse 7, then Herod secretly called the Magi and ascertained from them the time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make careful search for the child. And when you have found him, report to me that I too may come and worship him. And having heard the king, they went their way, and lo, the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And they came into the house and saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him and opened the treasures they presented to him, gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their own country by another way. So this is really titled The Visit of the Wise Men. And it's after Jesus was born, and so we read the whole story. But behold, magi from the east. Where is that? Well, we've already said that these were probably wise men, descendants of Daniel, from the Babylon or Persian area. So that's to the east of where Bethlehem and Israel are. So they arrived saying, where is he, or also the one, who has been born king of the Jews? So we read this part. Where is he? So they're looking for the baby. And for, that's always some sort of an explanation, for we saw, that's observation, his star. So he himself, it was the star of God or Jesus. So it was his star. What's the word star? Well, that's the word aster. Star could really refer to planets, as they didn't differentiate between stars and planets. And planets, the word planet means a wandering star. So planets are sort of wandering stars that are luminaries that move with respect to the background much deeper, the background of stars that we see. So, and there are stars referenced a couple of places. The most important is where they're first defined, and that's in Genesis 1. Let me just look at that for a second. This defines star for us, or luminary. Genesis 1:14, "Then God said, 'Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth.' And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night." So these are all luminaries, whether it's the sun or the moon or planets. And it also says, I mean, I have colleagues that have spent their entire lives studying stars. He made the stars also. That's it. So, "And God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth and to govern the day and the night and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good." So the whole creation was good. So that's a little bit on stars. That's where they're defined. And they're mentioned a few times, like in Acts. Paul talks about the stars didn't appear for days when they were on the shipwreck. And so everybody knows pretty much what stars are and how they function here from Genesis 1. Days and nights and years. And so that's they give us a time frame. So a star here is just a luminary or a light bearer. That's really all we know. They're light bearers or luminaries. And this particular star, which is differentiated from all the others, we first saw it in the east. So that's geographic. And so they're at Bethlehem now, but it started in the east where they first saw the star. And so this is geographically local. It's not astronomical. It's local. And it's moving geographically. So we saw the star in the east. And so, and that's really, as far as what a star is, we know what that is. This particular star is a little different. And we'll see how it moves differently. We've already seen it started in the east and moved to the west. And so in verse 2, it says, "His star." And that means supernatural, almost along the lines of the Shekinah glory. Very similar. And so his star, not of this fallen creation, but of him. But it's observable. They saw these things. It's science, really. They observed these things. And so we want to be careful not to worship the star, but we want to worship him who created this manifestation. And again, the Magi were familiar with the prophecy concerning Bethlehem. And that's where the Messiah would be born. So, if we look back at verse 7 of chapter 2, "Then Herod secretly," it's interesting, why secretly? Yeah, he doesn't want this to be real public, "called the Magi and ascertained from them the time the star appeared." So he's trying to set the timeline here. Of course, there's a lot of travel time involved because that's a long way from Babylon or Persia to Israel. And then he sent these Magi to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make careful search for the child. And when you have found him, report to me, that I too may come and worship him," which we read before. And so there's a lot of lies in there, but at least he wanted the Magi to be on his side and let him know. And so in verse 9, "And having heard the king, they went their way. And lo, the star which they had seen in the east," it's the same star, they know it, it's the same and it's moving. And so with respect to the background, and so and lo, the star which they had seen in the east went on before them to Bethlehem, and until it came and stood over where the child was. So this star they had seen, this luminary, moved and then stood over where the child was. And When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. So this is just not a natural event. This is supernatural from beginning to end. And they came into the house and saw the child with Mary, like we had read before. So Herod's trying to get the Magi on his side to ascertain where this baby is and get the timing right. And so he sent them to Jerusalem. And they, after talking with the king, they went their way. And lo, the star which they had seen in the east, they're definitively saying this is the same star that we're going to follow to Bethlehem. And this star they had seen in the east went on before them, and until it came and stood over where the child was. Now, this is pretty unique. This is, in all my study of astrophysics, I've never seen anything like this. Stars don't move around like this. The only stars that move are the planets, and which in the Greek is the wandering luminaries, if you will, with respect to the background. Yes, ma'am?
Porter.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. And because they were worshiping idols and they were being disciplined, so it's cool when you think about that God's plan is from Babylon back to Jerusalem, then further on to Bethlehem, to say, I am your king, right? Because there were not everybody who was Jew returned home after the exile. They still stayed there, but God is still faithful to say, I told you I would come.
Yeah, there's some great pictures here, and just of his love of Israel over the ages, and that well-worn path. You know, when I went to Israel the first time, you can go to the Israeli Air Force Museum, and you stand on the roof, and there's all these little sidelight, all these great airplanes from the 67-day war in 73, and they maintain them up on the roof. But when you look out toward the desert, and you realize this is the path that they went to and from Egypt. This is it. And it's just amazing to sit there and see it. And so you're right, Linnell, there's some real depth here to this particular path. And so the star went on before them until it came and stood over where the child was. And again, I've never seen that in all my study of astrophysics. Stars just don't do that. And so, plus this has that local geographical move that we've already noted. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. So, they're just definitively saying that this is the same star. This is unique. So there's something about it that's unique that we're not told, whether it's brightness or color, but it's the same star. And again, the movement and the standing still of this star is pretty unique. And then it stops. It stood over where the child was. So that word stood is histemi, which really means to remain beside or standing above is just really all you need to say. Yes, Porter.
Small focus too of the light coming down.
Well, we're not told that.
It
could have been a spotlight of some kind. I mean, that's, you're looking at the movie Ben-Hur at the beginning where they have the
it's, they recognize the house.
They did. But it still could be, you know, non-directional. Could be just a bright light that's fairly local and it's illuminating everything. But right beneath it is where Bethlehem was. So a lot of it we're not told. I'm not convinced it was a searchlight, spotlight kind of thing, but it was, they knew where to go. And it was pretty bright and it was not, you know, at astrophysical distances. So it was in a sense like a spotlight, but I don't know if it's omnidirectional or directional or what. Could be. I mean, it makes for a great movie part in Ben-Hur. So, and again, I have in my notes here, directional floodlight? I don't know. But it was definitely highlighting the whole area with very bright light. And that's how they could recognize it. And it stood out, again, relative to the background. It's moving and standing. That's not what the background of stars and planets do. So it was unique from the background, and the Magi knew that, and so they followed it. And in verse 10, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. So this was definitely a supernatural thing where it was witnessing with their hearts, and they were rejoicing over this because this is the Savior. When I read these accounts, I often think, you know, what if we were there, were observing this with them? What would that be like? They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. So what was this like to be there and try to visualize this and put ourselves in that place? Pretty amazing. So we rejoice over this. That's what we celebrate every year, over this presence of God, His revealing of Himself as they did. So let's summarize. So what can we conclude? This is going a lot faster than I expected. Porter, I expected you to ask a lot more questions, so you're letting me down here a little bit. So what can we conclude about the star? I guess there's not a lot of real scientific depth that I can go into here. A lot of you will rejoice that it's not physics class, but there's it's just at face value. If we take these verses at face value, this is the way it was. It's pretty amazing, the miracle itself. So what can we conclude about the star? Well, to answer the first question, it's supernatural, not natural. Stars don't, or planets don't move like this. And it's not that we want to give Galileo and Kepler a hard time, because it's great to see where science really reinforces what we read in Scripture. But Scripture doesn't depend upon that. Scripture can stand alone, but it's nice when we see some science that supports it. So supernatural, not natural event, and it was a special luminary or light bearer, unlike what we saw in Genesis 1, as far as the created natural order. It's somehow unique and recognizable, some sort of a celestial beacon, and because it was revealed to the Magi. They knew what it was and they followed it. So it had some special characteristics. And again, we're not sure what that is. Could be brightness. Could be, yeah, Porter? I'm sorry? Okay. So it was recognizable. The Magi knew what it was and they followed it. It moves geographically, which we've commented on. And so that's local. That's not cosmic. And so that's pretty amazing. And then it stops and it stood over where the child was. And again, no astronomical body that we know of moves like this. Yes. So you've changed your mind, Porter?
No. But these guys, you know, like you say, they inherited from Daniel, you know, they knew the scriptures as well, and they were looking for the sign of the Messiah. So this is not a mystery. I mean, they actually were looking for it. And I don't understand why or where in the sky they live, but they were. And so they found it, and it was the time for the Messiah that was not here.
And the Jews around Herod, they all knew too. Said, no, that's Micah 5:2. Yeah, don't you read Micah 5:2, Herod? Yeah. Jeff?
I'm just curious, did anybody else see it? You know, I mean, with the Magi saw it, obviously, and they were looking for it, which helps, obviously, but when the star comes and, you know, it's not just kind of I think maybe that's indicating the house. It seems pretty obvious. It's clear to them what was going on. Was everybody else just in bed, and, you know, were they not out seeing these things? Or, you know, it's like, what is it? Why did everybody else not seem to see it, or did they, and maybe it's not reported?
I think it's because they didn't know the interpretation.
Right, but he's still, I mean, it's this weird phenomenon.
Yeah.
It's odd.
Yeah. 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 Yes.
Especially, like, think about, they just went to Aaron's, brought it to his opinion, and then all his wise men are like, hey, yeah, it's actually Micah. And then none of them bothered to check it out.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, they have a point.
Yeah, it's prophesied. And
you're like, yeah, whatever. We'll stay here.
Yeah.
Yes, Sharon?
Maybe it's a case of you have eyes to see. Maybe there were people that their eyes were veiled. They couldn't see it because they weren't seeking.
Oh, I think everybody saw it. I don't think it was unobservable to some and not others, but they just didn't understand. They didn't understand the significance of it, I think. And only with the scriptures do we know more about it, that what this really means, and especially Micah 5:2, and the Jews have always known about that. Maybe, but we're not told. But I think it's for sure that God was witnessing to them and leading them via this star. And so he was giving that witness. And yeah, I think so. Which we've seen other places in the Old Testament. So they knew, and I think that was the witness of God. Yes, ma'am.
So in Numbers 24:17, this is Balaam declaring his prophecy. I see him now, I see him but not now. I look at him but not near. A star shall appear from Jacob. A scepter shall rise from Israel. And so he goes on and he's prophesying about this star that shall appear. I'm just wondering how that is foretold. And I'm also thinking about how God led the Israelites through the desert, with the pillar of fire by night, which wasn't described as a star, but still, God is able to use that light to lead his people. And so for God, this is not certainly not a difficult thing. All of these things are within his infinite power.
I had forgotten about that. For those of you who didn't hear it, it's Numbers 24. I'll start at 16. And this is the oracle of Balaam and the oracle of a man whose eye is open. That's kind of interesting, verse 15. And 16, the oracle of him who hears the words of God and knows the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty falling down, yet having eyes, his eyes. In 17, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come forth from Jacob, and a scepter shall rise from Israel, and shall crush through the forehead of Moab and tear down all the sons of Sheth. So is this really prophetic about this particular star? I don't know. It could be referring to Jesus himself as the star that will come and have all these characteristics. I don't know. Could be a prophecy of that particular star. I just don't know. But that's an interesting point. So let me just wrap up here. So again, the movement of this star is unique, so we've already been over that a lot. So I just have to say with the wise men, with the Magi, so let's rejoice exceedingly with the Magi that God would uniquely reveal himself in this way to point out the Savior, which is really the thrust of what this passage is talking about. And again, I think it's similar to the Shekinah glory, and there's some verses on that we won't go to. In Ezekiel 9:3, then the Shekinah glory and brilliance of the God of Israel went up from the cherubim, right in the temple. Now, this is later on which it had rested to stand above the threshold of the Lord's temple. And so, and again, we've seen Shekinah glory and other things, the pillar of fire or cloud in the coming out of Egypt, in the tabernacle or temple. That's what this is talking about. Or Moses dwelt for 40 days in the cloud on Mount Sinai. And the last point is Jesus' birth. So we're seeing the Shekinah glory point to his birth. So that's all my notes. That's sort of the conclusion. Any questions or comments? Yes, Anne. They studied them all the time. Of course they did. It was the background of, they knew a lot about you know, the solar system versus, you know, the deeper space background of stars. And so they studied it all the time. So we have to think that they knew, you know, because they used stars for navigating probably like we did at sea, you know, celestial navigation. So I think it's safe to know that they know what real stars and planets do. That's why the Greeks called them wanderers. Oh yeah, planets are moving with respect to the background. This moved with respect to the background too, but it was standing is pretty unique. Did answer that, Anne? You're looking at me puzzling. What?
Did the average person know?
Oh, I have no idea.
Without it.
Yeah, they didn't have my class, so maybe not.
Joy,
did you have a question?
Baby
just after his birth, about that same time frame.
Oh, okay.
But again, that's all we're told. There's nothing more definitive time-wise. So.
But they knew how long it took to travel up there. That's why Aaron had to, when they first saw the star, figure out what the timeline was.
Yep.
It may have been as much as a year or so. The interesting thing, I read a number of years ago, there's a bunch of archaeologists exploring a cave near Bethlehem, found out how many skulls it was, I think it was 200, of male skulls, of 2-year-olds and younger.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I think I've heard that too. I guess there's lots of supernatural stuff going on here around this time frame. But we focused on the star and how it is different than other stars. And it's a great witness to his glory. Craig?
Well, you know, you're talking about the movement of this special star. It must have been shocking to the average person at that time to see a star which you would normally think would have some continuity of motion. There would be some consistency there. But to have it move, which is probably not unreasonable, but to have it stop is very unusual.
But I don't know how deep they... it's like a hog looking at a wristwatch. Really? What's the story here? So, well, again, we're not said. Yeah, who knows what the response of the other... We know what the response of the shepherds was in Luke. We read that account, and that's supernatural too. Good question. Catchy?
Bringing this down to where I live and understand things, I always want to
take the wise men out of my nativity scene. That's really not a true representation of what happened in the stable.
Got a purist.
Yeah, because it's a house, not a stable.
I haven't done it. I would say that.
Yeah, that sounds like heresy to me, Catchy, to do something like that.
I think you're free to do that, Catchy.
Yeah.
Which way should I leave them?
Put them another place in the room.
Yeah, good.
There you go.
I tried to put them on the east side.
This is good stuff.
Put them on the east side of my house.
Yeah, where are you going to put the star?
Way above the roof. Any other questions or comments? Yes, John.
That the Jewish leadership rejects the Messiah in a sense. It's like there's this obvious testament that the Messiah has come, and these guys from the East are accepting him, but the leadership in Jerusalem is rejecting him. And yeah, so from the very beginning, it's like already the Lord first goes to the Jews, and and they harden their hearts. And then
it's part of this witness.
Yeah.
You know?
But are we sure that the star led them to Jerusalem?
Yeah.
I mean, did it actually...
It led him to the west.
...shine down on Herod's palace? Or was it more just this was the politically acceptable thing to do, was to go check with the king that maybe he'd had a son born or something?
Well, I think that's what you would expect. You know, the king has been born. Well, yeah. It must be...
Must be in the king's house.
Been born to the new prince is born. He must have been born to the king, right? So you go to the king and it's like, oh, wait.
Jerusalem was the center
right.
of where the Jews are.
Right.
So we got to go there first.
The Jewish king is there. It's in Israel. It must be in Jerusalem, right? I mean, but it's like, okay, no.
And then they're led on a little bit farther.
Right. So I have a question because it's one of those questions that I didn't think about until this morning, but it's like, why a star?
Well, it's...
why not a loudspeaker? Why not, it's just interesting the way that the Lord works. And I think, as I kind of looked up some verses, and I think there's an obvious answer for it. But 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. God is spoken of as being light in multiple places.
God is light. So what else would you have but a light, a luminary, to lead the way? Yeah, sure does. Any other questions or comments? Yeah, go ahead. Gwen?
My favorite part of this is you have non-Jewish people who are looking for the Savior. And God doesn't leave them out there looking. He leads them to the Savior.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's a great message in that.
To fulfillment of seek and you will find.
Yeah.
This goes back to your first comment that they're inherited from Daniel. And they had a Jewish scripture.
And so did the Jews have the Jewish scriptures. They should have known exactly what to look for. And I think what that reminds me of is that just because I'm a believer and because I'm reading the Word doesn't mean that I'm where I should be. Doesn't mean that I'm seeing the Lord where I should see Him. And it may be that I was just reading about Balaam recently and could be that there's a donkey who's seeing him a whole lot better than I am. You know? it's kind of sobering to remember that, you go, well, I'm in this better place, and I've got, 16 Bibles at home, and I've got apps for the Bible, and I've got all this stuff. It's like, am I seeking the Lord?
Which really requires humility, especially in front of these scriptures. And we have to humbly approach it. Yeah. So... any other comments or questions? Jake, would you close us?
Sure. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for allowing Jim to prepare and present this to us today. Just help us to continually seek after you and the wisdom in your word. This time of year, thank you for sending a Savior for all of your. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for listening.